Last week, we started the message about crucifixion. Thank you. How crucifixion gives us the victory, not through domination, but Jesus did what none of us can do, which is total obedience to the Father's will. That's just a summary. If you want to understand more about it, I taught myself, honestly, that's good teaching. Go and listen to it again about crucifixion. Today we're going to talk about death. Death is not something that is too comfortable to talk about, but necessary. Because after all of us, sooner or later, will arrive there. Your mortality rate in this life is 100%, pretty much, for everybody on earth. We will go there. So we'll talk about that, especially the death of Jesus, what it means for us, how it can really impact our life, and how to make our life really exciting if we understand the meaning of his death. My encounter with death came early in my life, starting in my primary school, grade 1, grade 2, all the way to grade 6 in Indonesia. Here, I think, the primary school until grade 5. Am I correct? In Indonesia, until grade 6. And starting grade 1, I already made a bad impression upon my teacher. Every, you know, you get a report book that stay with you for 6 years, right? That's how we did it in Indo. I don't know about here. Here, I receive a one-page paper every half a year or something, reporting progress report of my child. In Indo, we have a book, right? You remember that book, right? I think it's still like that right now. You have a book called report, and then it stay with you every year. You have to your parent has to sign it, and then return to the teacher so that the next year teacher can use it again and record all your grades. And for me, from grade 1, I always have a comment. There's a comment section, and the comment always say, talk too much in class. Okay? Talk too much in class every year. First grade, second year grade, all the way to the fifth grade, because the sixth grade, you don't have to return it, you know? I mean, I forget whether I got a comment. But from first grade until fifth grade, I always get a comment. So it gets very bad because the next year teacher already saw the writing of the previous grade teacher, so they already developed negative impression on me even before I do anything wrong, right? And so on the third grade, I remember, was my worst time in grade school because almost every day I was sent to the principal's office because according to the teacher, I talk too much. And so in the principal office, I would write, I will not talk too much in class 100 times, right? So that occupy my time, and you know, I have to write that 100 times. I will not in Indo language, right? Saya tidak akan banyak bicara di kelas. So I write that 100 times, you know, and I remember writing that and crying because it happened too often. I cried. I'm depressed. Why? Not because I pity myself, but I pity my mom. Because I understood that my mom sent me to school to learn something. But here I am writing stupid words. I will not talk too much in class. So in my young mind, when I was third grade, that was so depressing. I was depressed. And I remember on the third grade, finally I passed. I moved on to, you know, here it almost seems like you never stay in the same grade unless you are really, really bad, right? But in Indo, you could stay behind and all your friends go to the next grade and you stay behind on the same grade, and which is very, very embarrassing, right? And I remember on the third grade, my mom, at the end of the year, before the report card was being distributed, she would go to these teachers, this particular teacher. I still remember her name. I still remember her face, because she was the one that put me a lot into the principal office. And I remember both of us, the two of us, my mom and I, went to this teacher's house, and my mom brought a piece of clothing, you know, as a bribe, you know, to the teacher. So on the third grade, I had to bribe in order for me to go to the fourth grade. And I remember those was the worst time. And the weird thing is this. During that time, third grade and fourth grade, I always thought that I'm going to die before I reach the age of 20. Weird, right? I mean, like, that is 11 years old, thinking that I would not ever see life after 20. I would die before then because I was so depressed. And because of that constant, you know, punishment, and they didn't never expect. And I don't feel that I talk too much, you know? I'm just being me, right? But according to the teacher, I talk too much, and it make me very depressed, and it makes me think I'm going to die before, you know, I really think that I'm going to die before age 20. And that's my first interface with the topic of death. I didn't understand what that mean, but I just said, I'm not going to survive this life beyond 20. That's my experience. Obviously, that's a wrong thinking. Here I am standing before you, right? But I don't know where that thing come from. You know, it just like depressed. And I had a good family. I mean, my mom loves me dearly. And I didn't watch a lot of movie, but somehow that topic of death come early in my life. How about you? The topic of death. When was the first time that you dealt with the topic of death? Some people deal with the topic of death because there is a death of a member of their family, right? That you interface with death during that time. Some people dealt with the topic of death because of accident, their friend died. I don't know about you, if there is anybody like that, that you know early in your life. Some people dealt with death by watching movies. There's a lot of violent movies, action movie especially. There's no shortage of death, violent death in the movie. How about you? When was the first time that you deal with the topic of death? Okay, let me ask you this very specific question. How many never dealt with the topic of death in their life? Can I see your hand? Never. Like, okay, what is death? I know death is not breathing, but I never encounter death that close. Anybody? Oh, so all of you? All of you? Okay. Yay, that's right. siapa namanya? Elsa never dealt with that. Praise God, right? So that is something that we're dealing with today. So let's see if I can. The title is The Mission of Death. Of course, death has a mission as far as Jesus is concerned, right? So in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, we see the last moment of Jesus' life, right? Let's see if I can. Is it on? Yep. And then press that. And press that, and it doesn't like me pressing because I'm not pressing the right one. Press this. There it is. Okay, down. It's a down arrow instead of up arrow for some reason, I guess. Okay, down arrow. This is Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 says, it says, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. He gave up his spirit. So Jesus died. It proved that he, like us, human being, eventually on earth, he died. He died, right? A man who represents humanity to pay for the penalty of our sin. After a few hours of pain and suffering, finally, he gave up his spirit. So in this sermon, I'm going to give you an outline so that you can follow. Is we're going to talk about the mission, Jesus' mission through his death, how this mission challenged our definition of death, and how the understanding of this definition allow us to experience life as God has intended for us. So very easy. What is the Jesus' mission? Okay. And how this mission and understanding this mission challenged our understanding about death, and how this new understanding allow us to experience life as God has intended. So What is the mission of Jesus' death? Some of us who has been a Christian for a while will answer this, so that all of us do not have to go through death, so that we can go to heaven after we die. Right? That's a simple answer to that. Jesus paid for the penalty of my sin so that I don't have to die the second time, and so that after I die, I will go to heaven. And you will not be wrong if you answer that, because that is certainly one of the purpose of Jesus' death. You can see in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that's what it says. And we're going to talk about the red line or red colored words later on, but I'm going to read it and you follow slowly so that you understand the mission of Jesus. There are two of them. I'm telling you that at first so that you can identify those two. Here it is. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same thing. Jesus. He is Jesus. That through death, Jesus might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So let's talk about this a little bit. Let me give you background. When it's talking about children, what does it mean? Here, children mean the children of Adam, humanity. So Jesus, one more time, was confirmed by the writer of the Bible, the writer of Hebrew, that Jesus was indeed flesh and blood, human. And Jesus, in sympathy with us, came down from heaven to live as human being, incarnated into human being, and experienced the same thing as you and I, flesh and blood. He also flesh and blood. He experienced the same thing, including death. That's what it means. As children, the same type of the being in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook the same thing. What is the same thing? The same experience as you and I. That is common experience for all of us. So then come the purpose, the red line, the red worded words, the red colored words. That's what I mean. The first one is what you probably answered me earlier, to destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus achieved total victory over the devil. He is powerless right now because Jesus overcame him at the cross through his death and rose again. We know that. But the second mission may not be so obvious to you and I, because his second mission is to deliver you from the power of death that enslaved people lifelong, even Christian. Some Christians today are still living under slavery because they either do not understand or ignore to understand that another purpose for Jesus was to deliver you from lifelong slavery. What is this lifelong slavery? For one thing, it says here, the mission of Jesus is to destroy the one who has the power of death, which is the devil. The reality is, yes, the devil is defeated, but he is not totally destroyed because his time has not yet come. He is still around. Devil is still around, although he is not victorious. He is a proven, guaranteed loser. But he's still around. Nevertheless, he's not totally destroyed because by God's sovereignty, his timing is not yet come. Amen? How many understand so far? Even though he has no power to harm you anymore, he cannot hit you, he cannot slap you, he cannot kick you, but he has still one thing that can harm you, which is his lie. His lie. The devil can lie to you, and he doesn't even have to hit you, kick you, do anything, because he will lie to you so that you, yourself, harm yourself. And that is the power of lie, even though he's defeated. The way I think about it is like this. In my house, which has a lot of wild area, big ground, I have things that I don't like, which is poison oak. Okay? Poison oak, and we try to get rid of it, and the way I get rid of it is I hire someone who is not sensitive to the poison and pull that poison oak, there's several ways to deal with it. One of way is to pull it out from the ground. The other way is to spray it with chemical until it die. So I hired the guy, and he is not allergy to poison oak. He pulled it out for us. Now, even that poison oak is pulled from the ground, has no power to grow anymore, but be careful. Don't touch it. Don't touch the leaf, because the leaf is very effective to do something very bad to your skin, right? The poison oak that's pulled from the ground has no power to grow anymore, but the poison is still around. So he would take that thing out and put it carefully in the green waste, and I will be, during that period of time, I will be very careful pulling my green waste for disposal later, because I know that the poison oak leaves are still very effective. The same with the devil. The devil is probably not powerful anymore, but he can still lie, and that lie can harm you, make you harm yourself. How many so far understand this? And amen? Hallelujah. So that is the mission number two. And I beg you understand this. Because if you understand this mission number two, what Jesus wants to do, it will totally change your life if you live according to his word. Okay, this mission number two again is to deliver God's people from lifelong slavery. And that lifelong slavery is because of the fear of death. Fear of death. Now, let's talk about fear of death. Why is it that people fear death? I do a little research. Why people fear death? In the Latin word, it's called thanatophobia, fear of death. And why people fear that? For one thing, people fear that because it's going to end their life projects. People have a lot of plans, right? They want to buy a house, they want to go here and there, they want to meet someone, they probably have some regret in the past that they want to correct, and any kind of life project, if you are dead, then you stop. That's, for some people, cause fear. When I lied in the hospital 11 years ago in Hong Kong because of my condition at that time, I was sick very badly. The first thing that kind of come into my mind after I found out that this may be tumor that I have is the worry, who is going to run the church? Who is going to run my company? What's going to happen with my family if I die? The stoppage of life projects. That can cause some fear to some people. Another one is not knowing what happened after you die. Right? A fear of the unknown. What happened after I die? Am I going to be in the good place, happy place? What kind of place that will be? And that kind of question, because none of us have ever experienced it. So the fear of unknown. The third one that I researched this, okay? So you just believe me. Because you don't have time yet, right, to research this. I did. Because I know that what I'm going to talk about is about that. The third one is the annihilation of self. The total gone. Annihilation means like poof, right? I mean, you are here. But if you die, you are no more. It makes this life meaningless. So people worry about or afraid of death because they worry that everything that they experience today is meaningless because one day they'll go poof. So people fear death because of that reason. How many know that Jesus actually answered all the questions of that fear? That poof thing is the threat to the meaningfulness of life. So what do people do? What do people do when they thought about death and they have this kind of fear? Several reactions. Number one, ignore it. If you're still young, you're still healthy, You don't think about it. Just forget about it. Why do you have to talk about it? It's going to come anyway. Right? I mean, you don't have to talk about it. Just ignore it. And a lot of people are like that. A lot of people don't think about death. Because if you think about it, then you can be afraid. And people say ignorance is a bliss. Right? If you don't know about it, then you don't have to worry about it. And when it comes, it comes. So why worry about it? That's one approach to the question of death. The second way is some people who is very brave, they said, okay, I'm not afraid of death, but knowing that my time is limited on earth, I'll try to accomplish as much as possible, including pursuit of pleasure, pursuit of wealth, and do everything I want, because at the end, I'm going to not have the opportunity anymore to pursue what I want. So I'll use my short time on earth, knowing that I will die, I'll do whatever I want. So they pursue wealth, they work like there is no tomorrow, and they do crazy things because they think their life is short anyway. I mean, those are brave people, right? I know I'm going to die, I'm going to do everything I can right now before I'm out of time. I think both approaches are not very good, because there's a third one that I think we need to consider. A better one is know the truth of God's word. And how, so that we are not ignoring it, but we're also making good use of our time, knowing the truth, what God wants for us to do on earth. I think that is the best one. And let's look at one verse. I'm kind of running out of time here. But anyway, I already talked about this, right? You can ask this, by the way. But let me show you the word here from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. This is God's answer for you and I. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. Where, O death, is your victory? Death here is personified, like a person. It's very typical way of you know, writing in the old days. You personize a person. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And this is the verse that we talk about in the offering time. But thanks be to God, He give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 58 is what you should do, knowing that you have the victory. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So Jesus took out the sting of death. He answered all the fear threat to the life project. I discover very soon now, as soon as I'm well and I come back to my regular life, the church is still going. My business has no problem. My family never seems to miss me, you know. Like, everything is just go on, even without me. I was so worried that everything will stop because I was not around, but that is not true. Things still go on without you. And as far as, you know, the destruction and annihilation, Jesus already promised us that we will have eternal life. We are not just going to be poof, right? Jesus took out the sting of death. And what we need to do is we need to receive this victory. The Word of God says, thank God He gave us the victory. Are you convinced that God gives you the victory over death? The Bible says, thank God because He gives us the victory. Jesus' victory is ours. And then what do we need to do once we realize that Jesus has given us the victory? And this is the second mission related to the second mission. The second mission require our participation. The Bible says, stand firm, let nothing move you. Stand firm, let nothing move you. What can move you? The lies. What can make you shaking? It's the lies. The word stand firm in Greek is hedraios. Hedraios. Hedraios means, in the translation, it says stand firm. But in the original language, it said seated firmly. Actually, it's not a position of standing, but a position of sit. If you sit, you are more stable, according to this definition, hedraios, okay? Be seated, firmly established, resist the shaking. So the devil's lie, the attempt on your life is to shake your belief, to tell you that you are not victorious, you don't have the victories. Lies, let me tell you this, pay attention. Lies is, the devil's lies is creating alternate reality for you so that you live in its reality. And when you are being deceived, when you swallow the lie, you don't even know what reality that you are living on. You think that everything that you see here is reality. I'm reminded of the movie Matrix. How many saw the movie of Matrix? There's one line that says, if you do not know what is real, you cannot resist. Because you swallow the lie. And the lie of the devil is creating an alternate reality than the real reality in God. When he lied to you and you eat it up, you think that this is reality. The Bible says, when you believe in Jesus, you are new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:57. I think that's 1 Corinthians 5. You are a new creation. The old has passed away. But the devil says, what do you mean? You are still the same you. You still do the same thing. You still sin the same thing. You are not a new creation. But the Bible says, when you believe in Jesus, you are new creation. Now the devil says, no, you are not. Which one do you believe? If you believe the devil, then you agree with him. And your reality is, yes, I'm still the old me. There's no hope for me. I'm going to live my life like this. I will never be good in eyes of God. And I will never be satisfying in my life. That is a lifelong slavery. A lot of Christians already being saved. Obviously, they are Christian. They believe in Jesus. But they still live in the alternate reality created by the devil. Yes, you are an old person. You are a sinner. You are no good. You will never be like so-and-so that you see in your image is a very godly person. That's the lies. You're taking the blue pill in Matrix. In the Matrix, you eat the blue pill or the red pill. Okay, it's a very complicated movie, you know. It just make you question what is real and what is not. Right? And then if you watch it, you know, if you take the red pill, I guess you become aware of something. Anyway, that is what the devil tried to do to you. And hopefully you see this. Hopefully the truth will set you free. That's what it means when Jesus said the truth will set you free. Set you free from what? Set you free from this alternate reality created by the lies of the devil. So stand firm. To me, what the word stand firm, do not let anything move you, because the devil want to try to move me, is that to me, my interpretation when I hear the word stand firm, do not let anything move me, is number one, I cannot be intimidated by fear, because that's exactly the question, right? The fear of the death. I cannot be intimidated by fear. Intimidation is not coming in the form of scary face of the devil or anything, but intimidation comes in for me in the term of worriness about the future. I'm not gonna be intimidated by worry about my future. That I live my life today as if there is no tomorrow, and I do everything that I need to do. Therefore, it makes me cannot spend time to worship God, make me cannot spend time and always thinking I'm too busy to do this thing because I'm not going to be able to finish it. I have a lot of things to do. Therefore, I do not have time to come to worship Him on Sunday. I do not have time to come to worship Him daily because I have so much thing to do. I worry if I don't do it, I'm going to be a failure. That is worry. That is intimidation of life. I refuse that. And I do not want to be seduced by lies. That's number two. When I said do not be moved by anything, includes I'm not going to be seduced by lies. And the world around me is lying because it's giving me a standard that God doesn't give me. They give me standard of wealth. Oh, how big of my house has to be? How much money in my bank account? How famous I can be? How likable I can be in the Instagram? Those are standards that is not biblical. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to be seduced by these lies and live in my alternate reality created by the lies of the devil. And instead of living in the real reality according to the Word of God, I'm going to refuse that lies. Number three, for me, when I see the word "do not be movable, stand firm," is I'm going to start finding out what is God's reality and start living in it. The Bible says that God, Jesus, has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Am I living in the kingdom of light? Is that my reality? Or am I going to still live in the kingdom of darkness and believe in it? If you do not know what's real, you can't resist. Hallelujah. So what must we do practically? And the word of God in that same verse, let's see here. We talk about this, right? Here, the same verse that we looked at before, the last portion of it. The last portion of it, after thank God, He give us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Therefore, my brother and sister, the word therefore means in view of this truth, in view of this information, therefore, this is what you do, right? It says, stand firm, let nothing move you. And the second part says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the answer to the vanity of everything that you possibly can do if you live in alternate reality. Alternate reality is not real. Whatever you do this, whatever you do in that reality will one day end, temporary. But in the reality real, the real reality, everything that you do is not in vain. That is the answer to that question of, you know, believing the lies or not believing the lies. Okay? So it says, do everything, always give yourself to the works of the kingdom, because everything that you do in the Lord is not in vain. In vain meaning vanity, like temporary, meaningless. But if you do these things in the Lord, it will be eternal. How many understand so far? Am I going too fast? Am I going too philosophical? Not right. This is reasonable, right? I mean, it's not too... I know sometimes my academic mind come forward when I preach, which I probably should minimize, but I don't think this is too difficult, you know. So what I have to do with my life is to invest it in things that matter, in the reality that God created for me. I'm going to find out what that is, but to me, and I'm going to close with this, my impression as I think and reflect about this. Number one, I'm not going to be too impressed with the world around me. I'm not going to be too impressed with how much wealth other people have. I'm not going to be too impressed with fame or likability of other people. I'm not going to be too impressed with anything the world has to offer, because it's offering inferior and sometimes rubbish product, because it's a product made from the culture of death. I'm not going to be too impressed. Biasa-biasa aja lah. Okay, you have a lot of money, biasa-biasa lah. You have a lot of popularity, biasa-biasa lah. I don't know what in English, biasa-biasa. Common-common lah. And number two, okay? Number two, I'm going to store my wealth in heaven, a heavenly thing, right? I'm going to store my heaven. I'm going to store my treasure in heaven. I'm going to do things that I know the Bible says going to provide me with the treasure in heaven. That's what I'm going to find out. That's what I'm going to try to do. That's why I'm going to try to focus my life on from now on. Another way, the thing that I'm going to do is knowing that soul is eternal, love of God and relationship with God is eternal. I'm going to invest in people. I'm going to invest in my relationship. And especially those that have not yet experienced the love of Jesus, I'm going to invest in that. I'm going to invest in the new people that, not new people, but younger people that, or anybody that do not know Jesus yet. Because if they know Jesus, then they will receive the gift of eternal life and this soul can go to heaven. And that is eternal. That's what I'm going to invest in. Hallelujah. 11:41. I told you about all that. It's just a summary. Here, this is the closing statement. Go ahead and play the music. I think we need to embrace the reality of God's kingdom daily, because the power of lies are still effective, like that poison oak in our soul. How many know that? How many realize that we are living like that, you know, sometimes? We believe all kind of lies. We believe all kind of alternate reality. And this is what my closing sentence that I want you to bring home in view of his death, in his solidarity with us. Jesus entered our fake first. You know, now there's this terminology. Anything that is an alternate universe, you just add the word verse to it. You know, like metaverse, or in the latest Spider-Man movie, there are so many Spider-Man all come in the same screen, and everybody come from their own universe. And there is a Marvel universe, and there is a DC comic universe. You just attach verse. I think that is a relatively new idea, right? This multiverse idea. So I just follow along, okay? There's a verse thing. So that's what I said. Jesus entered our fake first reality so that he can deliver us into his Christ first. How's that? Kind of cool, right? We need to embrace Christ's reality and resist counterfeit reality. I pray that you can do that. I pray that you have the wisdom to do that. I pray that you will be eager to find out what is this Christ first, what is this real life is all about that Jesus has designed for us, and stop believing lies and stop believing in that fake first universe. Let's all stand.
Let's sing this song. And when the earth fades,
and when